On tonight's show, we've got more Power 5 upsets. That's 2 wins in 2 weeks for the Sun Belt.
We've also got interviews with two of the newest athletic directors in the country.
And our hashtag Know Your Enemy Game of the Week features two very familiar teams. Roll it. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money!
Big water slides, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know, what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course. Welcome in, everybody. It's another exciting episode of The Bench Boys. I'm Thomas Gleaton.
And I'm Colin Cahill.
To say we have a loaded show is an understatement.
Man, you ain't kidding.
So, real quick, we'll get it out of the way. Follow us on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Luminary, Podcast, a bunch of different places. We're on Twitter, at The OG Bench
Anything.
Boys. At Colin Cahill 13, at Thomas Gleaton. That's all I can think of right now, but we have got so much stuff to do. Let's just go ahead and get on out the gate.
Out of the gate.
Right out the gate, we got to congratulate Ryan Pugh for going undefeated in the first week. 6-0, the only guy who had faith in the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers for the upset of Kansas. No one else. That was literally the kicker. Everyone else picked Kansas. He was the only guy who picked Coastal.
And like, even we didn't pick
Coastal. Yeah, and we heard from Joe. We heard from Scott. I mean, we heard from both of the guys, and we couldn't trust Joe.
Our apologies, Joe.
Yes, Joe, don't take it personally.
And we talked about it, and he said a bunch of things about what would have happened. So you can go back and listen to that episode later and compare notes.
Oh, yeah, compare the notes. He pretty much nailed it right in the head. CJ Maribel needed to have a big game. He did that. He 146 yards rushing. I think a touchdown, maybe two touchdowns in the game. The kid did exactly what Joe is predicting, and Coastal Carolina goes out and gets the second win over a Power 5 team for the Sun Belt this season. You know, what a start for the Sun Belt. Like, literally what a start for the Sun Belt. I mean, I can't remember in the last 5 years we ever had two wins over Power 5 schools in a regular season? I don't think so. I mean, a pretty long time.
Like, we've had one a year since 2015. This is the first year we had. No.
We had.
No, because
no,
South
was in 2015.
No, South was 16.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Okay.
South was 16, Troy is 17, 18. And this year, we've got Coastal and Georgia State.
There you go.
So
two wins. I mean, it's easy to tell. I'm going to say right here, I don't even think it's a hot take because I think the country has seen it. The Sun Belt is a better league this year. I think we're finally getting over the hump. And with teams like Coastal Carolina and Georgia State, who, mind you, were in the bottom tier of the Sun Belt last year, if they're making moves and they're beating teams this year, that's only good for the Sun Belt. That
absolutely.
The depth is finally, hopefully, going to get there. And you and me talked about it in our preseason predictions. You had, what, 7 teams making to bowl games? I think I had 6. So, boom, we're getting to those predictions there. So, incredible first week for the Sun Belt. Incredible week for Coastal Carolina.
We can't go much further without mentioning ULM and their almost win over Florida State.
Ugh.
I was so heartbroken for them with that.
I'm not a football coach.
No.
But let me tell you something. The rule of thumb, if you are on the road, if you are the underdog, if you go to overtime, and if you get the ball second and score a touchdown, and all you have to do is either tie or go for the win, you go for the win. That's the rule of thumb. I don't understand why they didn't go for the win there. I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from ULM and their season, but you really had nothing to lose. You go for two. All right, you go for two. You don't get it. But now you miss. I mean, heartbreaking that they missed, that it ended the way it did. But, man, I really wish I could have seen Caleb Evans go for two and the win in that game to beat Florida State.
And people are still going to say, yeah, but a win's a win when it comes to Florida State. But, I mean, that was a really close win.
Oh, no, I've seen a good bit of Florida State fan friends, And they're like, I mean, you think about it, their first week, they lose to Boise State. They blow an 18-point lead. Here, they blow, I think, a 14-21-point lead.
Something like that.
Even though they won that game, they are not happy in Florida State. I can tell you that. Tell you another team is not happy, Tennessee. But we won't even get into them because that's a dumpster fire right there.
Yeah, and we touched on that last
week. We did touch on that. But
let's talk about...
Incredible, incredible game for you all.
Absolutely. So. Let's go ahead and get into our Hustle Belt, Ben on Sports Hustle Awards of the Week.
Ben on Sports. I like it.
Yeah. Check out his article about the best Troy quarterbacks.
He's killing it.
He is. Yeah.
Killing it.
You can go vote for your favorite if you know enough about Troy's quarterbacks to vote. I did. Go
who do you have
as
number one?
It didn't. You just pick five.
Oh, yeah. The okay. Yeah. But who was your top five? Do you remember?
Turk, Simbird, Brandon Silvers, and then Corey and Levi.
Levi? Okay.
Yeah. So go check that out. It's on the Trojan Wall. Ben on Sports, Hustle Award of the Week. Who you got?
I thought I was going to be like different than everybody, but then like everyone noticed that this kid had an incredible game. Darrington Evans, no doubt about it. I mean, he got everything this week, I feel like. 19 touches, 234 yards, 3 TDs. That's just running the ball. 64 yards total kick return, and he had a kickoff return. Kid had 4 total TDs in the game. Yeah, that's solid.
See, even if it's the popular pick, he's very deserving.
Oh, 298 all-purpose yards in one game is nothing. But of that, this is the interesting thing, of his 234 yards rushing, 155 of those yards came on 2 touches, and both of those went for touchdowns. So, yeah, he did pretty well. Now, this is kind of the crazy stat that I saw earlier. He has 33 total rushes for 333 yards, which equals out to 3,333 feet. Just think about it. It's crazy. So, it just wild, wild stat. I don't, those numbers might not make sense, but still, 33
feet.
Yeah, 33 for 333. Pretty incredible.
But
so,
it's, yeah, you 10 yards a pop.
Yeah.
So
it's just, he's having an unreal year right now. I think he leads the country in rushing. Also, just quick anecdote to that. Josh Johnson, we talked about him last week, running back for ULM.
Another ULM mention.
5th in the country in rushing. So Sun Belt's got 2 of the 5 leading rushers in the country right now. That is my Ben on Sports Hustle Award of the Week, Mr. Darrington Evans.
Well, you were on the ground. I'm going to take to the air real quick. And honestly, this guy is possibly the face of an offense that needed somebody. Mm-hmm. Texas State quarterback Gresh Jensen.
Gresh
Jensen.
Okay.
Threw for 394 yards in their loss to Wyoming. He had 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions, but no other Sun Belt quarterback has thrown more than 394 yards in a single game this year. He outthrew Logan Bonner.
Wow.
Like, I mean.
Wow.
That's saying something.
Yeah.
Texas State's quarterback.
Yeah.
Is the leader in a single game passing this year.
I don't think anyone could have predicted that.
No. No. He gets my Ben on Sports Hustle Award of the Week.
G. Gresh Henson? Jensen. Is it G. Henson?
G. Henson.
Why don't you call him G. Easy? Because that's what he made it look like.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about that for the last 2 minutes.
That was good.
No, two great, I mean, great plays. Great players from the second week. Yeah, second week of football.
Week 2,
week
yep.
0-1-2, yeah. I think let's jump right into some highlights of the week.
Okay.
Real quick. First of all, one that jumped off the board with me, Brian Anderson coming back.
Absolutely.
Arc State looks... Oh, I really wish... I mean, I know... Let me be clear here. I understand why Anderson couldn't be there. Obviously, just an incredible thing that happened to him. But you got to wish, as a football fan, that you got to wish that Anderson would have been able to coach that game against SMU. Because I think that game would have been completely different. I mean, we saw this week what him at the helm... One, that team might be scary this year because... There's something scary about a team that is playing for something more than just football, and you know they're going to be playing for Miss Windy all year long, and that's a scary thing. And all those players, I mean, we talked to players at Sun Belt Media Day about how the impact she made on them. That's going to be a scary team for the rest of this year. And what they did to UNLV when it was a 1.5-point spread, and they go in there and beat them by like 30, like. Oof,
I can't
scary.
Remember if I said that game was going to be worse than it looked. Like, I think they were going to Arkansas State was going to come to town, but I didn't predict it would be that bad.
It was.
They took.
It wasn't care close.
Of business.
No, it was never close in that game. And so, one, we're still praying, obviously, and there's some cool things that are going to happen with Arkansas State and Georgia this week. We'll talk about that later in the show. But just that's having Blake Anderson back. I mean, you saw the video. But him on the sidelines, he is a huge difference in that team, I think, on the sidelines. Second thing, this is most evident. Group of five, I think the margin is as about as small as it's ever been between group of five and power five. That's my take of the entire year. I
like it.
And this is why. We've seen it here in the Sun Belt. Two wins. You go to Kansas. I know Kansas wasn't the huge win. But still, that is a Coastal Carolina team that has never played with anybody with the exception of Arkansas. And then the week before, you got a Georgia State team that goes in and beats Tennessee in Knoxville.
Granted, Tennessee is down, but...
It's still Tennessee. It's still Tennessee. They are SEC. They are constantly in the top 25 in recruiting classes over the past 5 years. They have unreal talent coming there. They got better talent. They got beat. That's all that matters right there. So, and then... Finally, the last point on this is, let me tell you something. The Mountain West Conference has picked that flag up for Group of Five, and they're like just sprinting with it, and they're waiting for nobody. Because the first 2 weeks of the year, Mountain West has 6 wins over Power Five schools, which is the most in the country. Not the most in Group of Five. I'm talking about the most out of any conference throughout the first 3 weeks, if you count week zero, throughout the first 3 weeks of this season, they have the most Power Five wins, 6-5, 6 wins out of 11 games. That's incredible. I mean, the SEC only has 5, and they played 8 Power Five games out of conference. They got 11, and they've won 6 of the 11. So, Mountain West, Hawaii has 2 Pac-12 wins, which is more than what Oregon State has had in like the last like 4 years.
They're doing better than, obviously, like, UCLA.
Hawaii's probably first or second in the Pac-12 right now. So, it just incredible. So, just a quick rundown. Mountain West has 6 wins. Sun Belt has 2 wins. The American Athletic Conference has 2 wins as well. American Athletic has a big week this week. They go play a couple Pac-12 teams with Houston and UCF. UCF gets Stanford. That's going to be a good game. MAC, no wins. The MAC is like 0-10. I think it's either 0-10 or 0-12. And Conference USA is also 0-8. And if we count independents, because BYU, I'm not counting Notre Dame, but if we count BYU, BYU got an upset over Tennessee as well last week. So there's a total of 11 wins so far this year of Group of Five teams over Power Five teams.
BYU is one of those teams. I really don't consider them a Group of Five. They're kind of in the middle, that gray area. They are an independent, but it is definitely an upset.
Yeah.
For BYU to beat Tennessee, that's surprising. But I don't know if I count them, but
I think they're right there. I would put them at the same level as UCF. I really think, you know, I think BYU, UCF, the Houstons of the world, I think those three teams, you might throw in Cincinnati there.
I would agree with you, except BYU is number one, the most recent non-Power Five team to win a national title. And they're a private school just like Notre Dame.
They're
a private religious school just like Notre Dame.
Yeah.
It's a different playing field. Army's not private. Army's public.
No.
Who's the other independent? New Mexico State?
And New Mexico State is.
They're a group of five.
They didn't fare so
they're a group of five. So it's different levels that I'm going with. I just don't. That's a personal thing. We can talk about it another day.
That's fine.
But the point is, I agree. Group of five, much more strong, more powerful.
Great, great. Huge first couple of weeks. You were out in the national stage in the first 3 weeks. Like, we haven't gone away. We got UCF having a big game this week. I mean, the momentum for a group of five right now is all there. I mean, you had Cincinnati beating UCLA. I mean, you got San Diego State that beat UCLA last week too. I mean, there's so much that's riding right now for the group of five, and they're doing it in big markets, which is really good. I mean, you got UCLA losing, you got Tennessee losing. I mean, those are brand
TV games.
You got Florida State pulling off a 1-point win over ULM. I mean, yeah, ULM lost that game, but you're there, you're in front of people's faces, and that's the one thing. The other thing that I had to talk about are, with the exception of Georgia Southern at LSU, we're talking about this before the show. That's really the only blowout that has happened to the Sun Belt this year, so far in the year. I mean, South South kept that. That's two touchdown game. ULL Louisiana against Mississippi State. That was what, a 10 point.
So 10 points.
Those are not blowouts. I mean, that's with and Georgia Southern. They just, people are finding out they just played a really, really good LSU team, as we saw last week. Joe Burrow. I know we're getting out of the group of five, but Joe Burrow might be. There's people that are already like, okay, this kid might be a first round draft pick at this point because he looks deadly. I don't know if you caught any of that game, but LSU's a little bit scary this year.
I caught some of the Texas game just because LSU Texas. Mm-hmm. I'm a group of five guy, but come on, to LSU Texas.
It's good football.
Anyway, I agree with you, but be wary of the September Heisman.
Yes. I mean, it's early. It's really early.
And if we're going to talk Georgia Southern, I've got
something
to say.
I'm not saying I don't think he'll win the Heisman, but no. I think he could be a really good NFL quarterback.
All I'm saying is I got something to say about Georgia Southern, and we'll get to that in our picks later.
Mm-hmm.
First, it's our game of the week.
Know your enemy.
That's right. This week's hashtag Know Your Enemy game of the week is Southern Miss at Troy.
Otherwise known as the best game of the week.
Of course, it's the best group of five it's the best group of five game of the year, says the biased guy.
There you go.
Anyway, I'm just so excited for this game. We have a plethora of information to get to you. We spoke with Patrick McGee with the Sun-Herald, Justin McNelly with WTVY in Dothan, and we got the two of the newest athletic directors in the country, Jeremy McLean at Southern Miss and Brent Jones at Troy. There is so much between these two teams, so much crossover, and we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's go ahead and pitch it now to Justin McNelly, a friend of yours, a friend of mine, a friend of the show. Let's have it.
And now we are joined by the one, the only, Justin McNelly, the sports director for WTVY News out of Dothan, Alabama. He is a Troy graduate, so he might be a little biased, but he's also covered the Trojans for the past, I would say, 4 years. Would that be about right, Justin?
Yeah, since covered them in college and everything when I was there, then off and on. But I've been the main Troy reporter for SFA and then here for about the last 4 years or so.
Okay. So the biggest question, because you were covering them during the Neil Brown era, and now we're obviously year one of Chip Lindsey. What is the difference that you've seen between, you know, the coaching staffs of Neil Brown himself and Chip Lindsey, and then the difference in coaching staffs?
I just definitely feel a more laid back feel from all the practices and everything I've been to. I try to relate it back and try to think back in my head to Neil's first year and kind of how it was kind of laid back, but then he got more strict the more success he had. But I feel like Lindsey, this is just kind of the way he is. Like, he's kind of just a go with the flow type person. Like, he's going to expect a lot out of you, but he's, you know, going to be a little more fun to his practices, a little more, you know, there's people out there, you know, dancing, having fun, having a good time. And I think that's the biggest difference I've seen so far, is just the attitude with some of the players. You know, they're not as uptight about things, and they're more cracking jokes, having fun on the sidelines, which, I mean, these are college kids. They have to go out there and do that. I know this is a business they're in, and, you know, they're out there to get wins, but at the same time, you know, they're out there having fun.
Now, for the last, you know, 3 years, you know, Troy has had some big wins. In my opinion, I think a lot of it, we've had good offenses, but I think it's been predicated really on how well the defense has played over the last 3 years. And coming into this season, you know, they lost four guys to transfer. You know, have you seen them fill those positions? Do you think that they've been able to fill those voids left by those four players that have left?
Well, I think the biggest thing that's helped out a lot has been the production that they have received from Carlton Marshall just in his short amount of time at Troy, how he's really been able to step up as a leader. Even his freshman year last year, he's really taken on that role this year, left over by some of those guys who departed, especially Tron Folsom, a guy in that linebacker corps they really relied on, a guy like Hunter Reese that they really relied on. That secondary is still – they're still working out the kinks right now, because I know that at this moment, Terrence Dunlap is still not on the roster, I believe so, because he's dealing, I want to say last check, with some academic issues, so he is still not listed on the depth chart as we speak. But the guy that really has stepped up, that they mentioned last week, was O'Shea Fletcher, a freshman out of Huntsville, Really looked good in his debut game for the Troy Trojans. So I think they've been able to fill some positions and move the guys around, and I think they have a solid unit on that defensive side of the ball, and getting a guy back like Zoe Bridges never hurts either.
No, it doesn't. No, I mean, they you could really tell, especially late in the season, they were missing Zoe Bridges just because of all the injuries that were kind of piling up at the end of the year. That Zoe Bridges was definitely a big miss. So yeah, what about on the offensive side of the ball? Obviously, Caleb Barker's back. Does he look? I mean, this is his third ACL tear. You've gotten to see him, you know, run through fall practice. Does he really look back to being 100%? You know, what in your eyes what does he look like, or what does he look like in your eyes?
From what I've seen, it really doesn't look like he's missed a beat at all. If it wasn't for the fact, you know, he was in a knee brace, or I knew what happened, I would not be able to tell he came off a knee surgery, because he looked so much more poised. He looked so much more confident. And, you know, he really took the time, you know, from October during his injury to now to get his body back in shape and to be a better version of himself than he was last year, which was hard to top with the way he played those first six games. So seeing him back on the field, he really looks like his old self, if not a better version of it, which is dangerous for this offense with all the weapons and everything they have, and it's going to be hard to stop for some of these defenses that they'll be going up against this year.
What if we ask everybody this question on Sunday morning, the paper reads Troy, you know, knocks off the Golden Eagles. What's going to have to happen this weekend? You know, if you can put 3 points together, three phases, what will Troy have to do in order to win this ball game?
Well, I think one's going to have to run the ball, which, I mean, I mentioned that a little earlier, and I think they're going to. I mean, we have a guy like B.J. Smith on your team. You're going to hand him the ball off, and I think that's going to be a key point for them on offense. They're really going to have to just feed him, and I think they're going to have to open up the offense a little more as well. I know that first game, I don't know if it was just more of they didn't want to show too much that first week, or the lightning delay you know, cost some issues, and they just went more basic with their offense. I think playing a team like Southern Miss, you're going to have to expand that offense a little more. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they got to start getting takeaways. I know that's something they all coaches preach, but when you're playing a talented offensive team like Southern Miss, whose defense is just as good, you got to give yourself more chances with the ball, which gives you more chances to score. I know that sounds elementary, but I think that's something they're going to have to go out there and do.
Perfect. And last question, we always ask everybody if they've got a prediction. Do you have any predictions for this week?
I think the home crowd is going to help Troy a lot. This team is excited about this matchup just from talking to them this week at their press conference. I think the fans have an energy about them to this game. I mean, they had last week off. You know, the fans are ready for them to get back out on the field. So I do think Troy takes it home. I'll go 34-21 in favor of the Trojans.
Justin McNelly from WTVY News in Dothan, Alabama. Thank you for coming in and talking with us tonight. I'm sure, as you said you were going to be covering the game, so we will probably see you out there Saturday. So, again, thank you so much for coming in.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show.
Obviously, another great interview to start this amazing segment off.
Absolutely.
With the one and only Justin McNelly. No, I think the most interesting thing he talked about was, obviously we know about B.J. Smith, but he said it could be the D.K. Billingsley show.
Right. He said the backup could be the guy.
D.K. has been waiting around. I mean, since last year, we've seen these glimpses of D.K. Billingsley. I mean, I remember plays where I think he actually played against Ohio in his freshman season. I remember him coming in and on a fumble, we fumbled the ball forward and he was in just as a spellback and he picked the ball up and ran for 25 yards. Like we just see we've seen glimpses of D.K. Billingsley. Even last week against Campbell, he had a nice 40-yard touchdown run. That's a good sign to see. And Troy's going to need, I think, that second back. Not to take anything away from B.J. Smith, but if this might be a really good game to see D.K. Billingsley come out and really show, hey, there's two good backs in this backfield this year. So
and we'll get to this next part in a bit. Mississippi State was a really, really ground and pound team. Right now, we're going to go. It's my turn now. Let's talk to Patrick McGee of the Sun Herald. So now we've got Patrick McGee from the Sun Herald. Welcome in, Patrick. Thank you for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Let's just start from the beginning. What do we need to know about the Southern Miss team out of the gate? What is the big storyline going into the season?
Well, going into the season, I think everybody expected this team to be one of the better defensive squads really in the country. If you go back and look at what they did statistically, they were top 10 nationwide in various different statistical categories. But here in the first two games, the defense hasn't been as good as what would have been expected, what was expected of this group. They kind of struggled against State, got exploited in the secondary, which was expected to be a strong point. So coming in, you expected maybe an improved offense to go with the defense that was expected to be easily the best in Conference USA. At this point, I think going to the Troy game, I think there's some a decent amount of optimism when it comes to the offensive side of the ball, coming off a 340-yard performance against Mississippi State where they didn't really finish drives, but they were able to move down the field pretty efficiently. So it's still a Southern Miss team that we're kind of waiting to see what kind of identity they can build. This is a big game against Troy for them, considering Alabama is next on the schedule. So they need to develop some momentum and get things going before conference play starts. So it's we're just kind of all waiting to see how this team kind of develops in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And this Troy game is just absolutely critical.
Absolutely, and I mean that's kind of a measuring stick I think on both sides for both teams. Honestly, that passing game, it just so happens that the secondary is one of Troy's weak spots this year, but they're going up against a pretty strong passing game from Southern Miss. Plenty of weapons in that wide receiving core.
Southern Miss, they have a quarterback, Jake Abraham, who actually led the nation in completion percentage a year ago, and now is working behind an offensive line that really didn't give him near enough protection in a ground game that struggled. So for him to be able to do that, a lot of that was a result of just, you know, making short tosses out to the receivers and stuff like that. I think we've seen the team go down the field a little bit more, even with Quez Watkins sidelined the first 2 weeks of the season. Now he's back in the mix, and he's a really nice deep threat. If that Troy secondary is struggling, they're finally going to see a Southern Miss receiving core really at full strength with the Jordan Mitchell, the Jalen Adams, Quez Watkins, and Tim Jones, who works in the slot. Is a really, really tough inside receiver, good athlete, good hands, really strong guy, checks in about 213 pounds, decent speed. It'll be interesting to see if they could get Jones going early. Had five catches, I think, in the first half against State for 73 yards before they kind of slowed him down. But I would say the Southern Miss passing game is kind of on the verge of taking off at some point. I don't know if it'll happen this week, but just what I've seen out of the team the last 2 weeks, I think there are signs that Jack Abraham has a chance to really kind of really get more in the terms of passing yardage because he's getting a little bit better protection now on the offensive line. So, yeah, pointing that out, I would say that's probably a crucial matchup in this game.
Yeah, and we were talking before we started this, but Jalen Adams, a guy who started out, was originally committed to Troy, has now ended up – you said he redshirted last year?
Yeah, well, he was hurt, I think, in week two or week three. He was, you know, playing a role in special teams and all that. But, yeah, going back to Adams, he was a commit with Troy all the way up, I think, until signing day. And he was just one of those late flips that nobody really saw coming. And whenever, you know, and he was the Gatorade Player of the Year for Alabama or really regarded pretty highly in the state. So that was a big deal whenever Southern Miss landed him. And whenever he's been on the field in punt return on special teams, he had a punt return and a kick return for a touchdown. In the first game of the season, and he had a pretty decent game at receiver against State. So Jalen Adams is a really kind of a do-it-all kind of guy, whether it's even handed off to him sometimes out of the running back position. Really a guy that you have to account for in all plays.
Absolutely. Troy had a special teams guy like that the past 2 years, Marcus Jones, who transferred out. So it's not surprised by a speedy guy being on special teams, but – man, that video of his punt return is definitely making the rounds on social media.
Yeah, I asked Jay Hobson, Southern Miss head coach, on the Monday after that if he was the fastest guy on the team. I think he put him right there with Quez Watkins. But he was really fast on that. I think he caught some Alcorn State guys out of position. I'm still wondering what number 91 was doing. he's the
oh,
first
you're right.
guy downfield. he just kind of did a little circle around him. Next thing you know, he's going up the field. Jalen is extremely fast. He's always been a fast guy. If you get a chance, you need to go watch that highlight if you haven't already. That punt return was something else to watch.
So we wake up on Sunday morning, and the headline is, you know, Southern Miss beats Troy. What's going to have to happen? What are we going to see in that article?
Well, I think the Southern Miss offense would have to come out and play very well. I expect the defense to be improved over what we've seen the last week or two. Like I've said, I think that's a prideful group. I think they'll step it up. And it really comes down to that Southern Miss secondary really playing much better against Troy. It comes down to Jack Abraham, the ground game, and overall offense. I think Southern Miss is going to have to come out there and score, you know, 35, 38 points to win on the road. And they're capable of doing that, but we all know how talented Troy is and how much returning talent they have, especially there on offense. So I think Southern Miss coming in, they realize they're going to have to be in somewhat of a shootout. I think the defense is capable of keeping Troy under 28 points. They've done it before. They can do it again. So I think it really all comes down to Jack Abraham having a huge game. For Southern Miss run on the road, it all comes down to the quarterback and the offensive line protecting him. So it's a pretty simple path to victory. It's just Southern Miss offense got to have far and away its best game of the season and went on the road. And I think Troy's a favorite at the moment and rightfully so on the home field. But Southern Miss, as long as its offense steps up this game, I think it has a chance to win.
All right, Patrick, well, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much. I think we got there's so much to digest there, and I appreciate you for breaking some of this down for us today.
Okay. All right. Thanks for having me.
That was Patrick McGee of the Sun Herald, newspaper out of Gulfport. I recognize that I probably never said that. I just said the Sun Herald. But he's been covering Southern Miss for like 10 years now. That offense, that passing game. That is going to be the thing to watch. We've talked about Troy's secondary being a little bit weaker this year.
Mm-hmm.
If the secondary at Troy does not step up, that passing game is going to just rip them to shreds.
Yeah, I mean they get a wide receiver back that one of their best wide receivers from last year, and to get a guy like that that led the team, he led the team in receptions and in receiving yards last year, to get him back. That's going to be a huge, huge thing for Southern Miss that they've been missing over the first 2 weeks.
And the thing was, they didn't have him the first 2 weeks, and they obviously made up for it.
Yeah.
So there are still playmakers there, and there are still weapons around Abraham, just a dynamite quarterback.
Yeah. We're going to get more into our analysis here after
Absolutely.
This, but now
Absolutely.
It now this is this I'm not going to overstate this, but this was one of the biggest moments for the Bench Boys. These next two interviews, the fact that we were able to get two athletic directors to come on the show and to talk to us and both give us perspective into each one of their programs. Huge moment for us.
And I mean, I you're not wrong. I'm extremely proud. Very thankful.
Very thankful
for both of these guys to come on and speak to us on this lowly podcast.
And first, we got a hold of Mr. Jeremy McLean with Southern Miss as visitors go first.
And we're here with Jeremy McLean, the athletic director for Southern Miss. Jeremy, thank you for coming in. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity to come on.
So let's just start with you are going to be back in Troy this weekend. What's the first thing you're going to do when you set foot back in the 334, back in Troy?
Yeah, great question. I plan on trying to normally don't get to do this on road trips. I plan on trying to visit with some friends and, my kids have plenty of friends in town, obviously. And so we want to try to catch up with some people, hopefully on Friday and get a chance to see some familiar faces and, catch up, with some people who mean a lot to us.
Absolutely. I'm sure you've kept up with Brent the past few months. What has it been like? What have those conversations been like?
Yeah, he and I talk often, probably a couple times a week it's been good. I think he's doing a great job. Obviously it's natural for him to reach out because there are things that, you know, quite honestly, until you sit in that AD's chair, you don't realize some things. There's maybe some things you don't know to ask. And so he and I have had some really good conversations about things that are happening there maybe, you know, some things we had done in the past, why we had done them, what it meant for us. And so all those conversations have been really good. I think he's doing a great job getting adjusted really quickly, I think, which is always key. And so I think he's headed in a very positive direction. But he and I, you know, over the years, we talk on a regular basis anyway. So our conversations have just been a little bit different over the last 4 or 5 months.
When you kind of hit the ground running too, when you started right there in the middle of June, as everything was gearing up for these fall sports, what was that like?
Yeah, it was a little crazy actually. I kind of actually started on May 1st and had to hire a men's basketball coach and a softball coach in the first month, and so that was interesting. Great opportunity for us. I think we were able to get two great coaches on board and, you know, tried it about the direction of those programs. So it was wide open. You're right. We hit the ground running and then, you know, began to make some, preparations for the fall and we got some great things happening there. Obviously a ton of preparation goes into football season, but we've got some other facility projects going on and things like that that we kind of jumped into with both feet. And so, it's been a little bit of a blur the first 4 months or so, just because we've been wide open, but you know, most of that for really, really good reason.
Yeah, and you talk about facility projects. You know, that's definitely nothing strange to you. Just in general, what are some of the things you learned from Troy? What is a major difference between, I guess, being at Troy and being at Southern Miss?
You know, I think the first thing that kind of jumps out at me, just kind of, and most people wouldn't know this or care to know this, but just kind of when you're in my chair is, you know, the states are very different in how they fund athletics, what they're allowed to do. And so here in Mississippi, we have some pretty strong restrictions on how much money can be, how much E&G dollars from the state can be directed and help support athletics. And so that's probably the biggest difference for me and how we function here and the impact it has on us. So we just have to be a little more creative in our budget situation and make sure that we're maximizing all of our revenue streams. Not that we wouldn't and didn't do that at Troy, but the setup is just a little different here.
Absolutely. And the team that Southern Miss is playing this weekend, obviously, again, no stranger to it, but this game was set in stone a little bit ago. There are more games on the docket in the future between Southern Miss and Troy. That partnership, how quickly did that come about?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know, probably 2014, I was at Southern Miss and John Hartwell's at Troy. And he and I began the conversation about scheduling this initial series. And so we finally got to the point where we could find the right dates. And so I actually was part of the scheduling process my first time at Southern Miss. And then obviously in 2017, I was at Troy when we traveled to Southern Miss and won that game. So here I am again as the visiting athletic director going back to Troy. So it's been an interesting kind of life of this initial series, but I think it's a really good series. I think it makes a lot of sense. And it's the reason that, you know, we decided to go down that path and schedule a more long-term, more games, 4-game series over the course of, you know, the next decade or so. And I think it just, for the reasons, you know, I mentioned earlier, it's, you know, we're recruiting some of the same athletes, a lot of the same athletes. We're in the same footprint. Both very proud programs with great histories, two really good fan bases. And so it just makes a lot of sense from a regional standpoint to play these kind of games. And, you know, we're excited about continuing that.
I agree. And one more right before we go, got to throw it back just one more time to your days at Troy. What is your favorite achievement or your best memory about what is the one thing you will take with you about having been the athletic director at Troy University?
Boy, it's hard to really narrow it down to one. I'm going to be honest with you. But I really would I'm going to cheat and I'm going to give you two
That's okay. That's okay.
At least from a job standpoint, there are a lot of really positive family things for us while we were there in Troy. I think winning at LSU was something I'll always remember. Just, and not just, I mean, it, it's great to go into an SEC stadium and win the ball game. But I think what it did was it made people begin to pay attention to what was all the hard work that was taking place on our campus and in our program, and a lot of people who were helping make that happen. And so that was really a high point. And then I'll tell you that having both basketball programs win conference championships on the same day and both go to the NCAA tournament and compete on the same day in the NCAA tournament was something that you don't get to see happen that often, and you don't get to realize that often. And so those two things for me, you know, really stand out.
I have to agree. As a Troy alum, seeing no doubt the success the football team had, but I have to agree that is a very underrated accomplishment for our for Troy's program in the past 3 years. So, all right, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, man, absolutely. I'm glad to have the opportunity to come on and visit, and definitely look back or look forward to having an opportunity to see some friends in Troy this weekend.
Absolutely, and if I see you, I'll give you a shout. Thank you so much, Jeremy.
Thanks a lot.
So, yeah, like we said, so many different storylines, so many relationships, so much familiarity between these two programs. My favorite little tidbit there that he shared, and I'm so glad I asked this question. I thought the future series that was coming up,
Siri.
That is hilarious.
Siri, apparently.
Siri.
Thinks, yeah.
Anyway.
It's okay.
The future series that was coming up, I thought that was a relatively recent thing between, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Jeremy, you want to schedule some games? Yeah, Brent, let's do it. Mm-hmm. No, it was actually when Jeremy was at Southern Miss the first time, and John Hartwell's like, hey, y'all want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just so happened he swapped sides in the middle of all of it. I just love that. And that alone, that right there to me, is exactly how tight-knit these two programs are.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's very evident that it's shocking, too, the amount of times that we've played and the intertwining between the two programs. We've only played, nine times?
Something like that. And ever? Only two times before this series.
Yeah.
Only two times since 1977. One of them was a bowl game.
Yeah.
And then we had that home and home that we just are now completing this week.
So, I mean, it is pretty crazy. Obviously, thanks again to Mr. McClain.
Absolutely.
Jeremy, I mean, his time here at Troy, he was pivotal, I think, because of where Hartwell left the program, which was the momentum was already building, and McClain just built upon it. The hire, obviously, Neil Brown was hired right pretty much the same time as McClain was hired. So just what he did, our program didn't take any steps back when McClain was here. So Troy family obviously loved him a whole lot. And then obviously Brent Jones comes in, and Brent Jones is, I think, just taking it by the reins. And now.
Absolutely. I was about to say, let's go now to the guy who's stepping into those Cardinal Adidas shoes, Mr. Brent Jones.
And we are now joined by Troy University Athletic Director Brent Jones on the show tonight. Incredible, incredible to get to have another athletic director. We had just gotten finished with Jeremy McClain from Southern Miss, and now we got Troy University's athletic director. First of all, thank you so much for coming on the show, Brent.
Absolutely. I'm a little upset that you had Jeremy first and me second, but I guess I'm batting cleanup tonight, okay?
Hey, clean up, you get all the RBIs. That's all you got to worry about.
There you go.
So first of all, let's just jump in. You know, the last, you know, 3-4 months of you being an athletic director, what has been the biggest thing? What have you kind of learned? Are you learning on the fly? What's the last couple of months been like?
Well, absolutely. It's been a dream come true. I've been in college athletics 20 years now. I was a student athlete for 5, redshirted 1, so that makes the 5 there. I've worked at Ole Miss, Georgia Southern, Southern Miss, and Troy now. Troy's the best place I've ever been. I'm humbled. I'm honored to be the director of athletics. I received this opportunity because it's about our team and how great our student athletes, our coaches, our administration. Jeremy McClain was the previous AD here. As you previously said, he brought me over from Southern Miss. And so I've worked here for 2.5 years. We've done a lot of things, set a lot of attendance from sponsorships to attendance to licensing, to fundraising, to ticket sales. All of those are at the all-time highs we've ever had. We led the Sun Belt Conference in football attendance for the first time in the history of Troy football last year. Our APR, our GPA, community service hours are off the charts. And so my goal, my vision, is we have an unbelievable momentum and our upward trajectory, and we need to keep that going forward. And so that's what I've been hired to do. I'm so appreciative of Chancellor Hawkins, who's been at Troy for the last 30 years. He's a transformative leader, and to be able to work with him day to day has been great. So to get to your question that you said, what have I been learning on day to day? I knew how great Troy was. Being here the last 2.5 years, I knew how great Troy was. I knew how passionate our fan base was. I was ready. I'm very appreciative of what Jeremy did over the last 2 years. I sat 24 inches away from him on almost every major decision that was made in the department, so I felt very ready. I was part of the Chip Lindsey hire for a head football coach. I know we'll probably talk a little bit more, as well as our men's basketball coach, Scott Cross. So I've been involved in almost every aspect and element of the department. And so I will tell you this. It is we have a lot of ground to continue to grow, and that's the thing that excites me most about Troy is we've had a lot of success over the last 2.5 years from men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball, football, men's and women's golf. But I also don't think the ceiling's anywhere near us. Like, we still have so much room to grow, and that's what excites me every single day, every single morning to get up to be the AD at Troy.
Did you ever think college athletics, I mean, you've been doing this for 25, 26 years now. Did you ever think it would get to this where you've got to, you know, somehow have all these different entertainment packages that are included with just going to a football game?
Well, I'll tell you this. So playing college baseball and being competitive and growing up and always playing sports, once you transition out of that, once I was 23, I didn't have the opportunity to play anymore. I was a senior. I graduated. I tapped out. I timed out. And every game day for me, whether that's softball, baseball, basketball, women's basketball, football, whatever that is, it's game day. And it's I take it as an onus, especially when I was in marketing and sales, even as the deputy AD of external, before I moved into the chair of the AD chair, it was game day for me. And every single aspect of that is competitive. How many people can we get here? Can we match what we did before? What's so exciting about college athletics and being in sports marketing is every single day is different. It's challenging. It's demanding. It's rewarding. But every day is different. And how can we connect with our student athletes? How can we connect with our fans? This week alone, we almost broke the internet on Monday with the release of our helmets. You know, that was from two different fan bases. That was from our fans.
Yeah.
That was actually from three fan bases. That was from our fans that were so excited to see the 1984 National Championship team helmet. To then all of college football going, man, those are some sweet lids. To then Michigan State fans saying, hey, that's our logo. Well, we used it too, you know. And so to see to do those things and then to get some other play with some different teams on it, you know, you have to be creative. You have to be willing to put in the time, the work. And I'll tell you this, our fans – have been very, very enthused about the product we put on the field, as well as what we do inside the stadium. Whether that's dollar hot dogs, whether that's the first 2,000 fans get free Konecka sausage, whether that's doing Trojan Mardi Gras at Trojan Arena, whatever that is, you have to be creative, you have to be dynamic, you have to be aggressive, and you have to be willing to take chances. And so that's what I teach our people all the time and talk about it.
You know, you were talking about social media and you blowing up on social media on Monday. Now, today there was a tweet that came out that I don't know if you can talk about, but there was a coach that made some comments about we're trying to play whatever team wants to play us, you go find them. And there was a tweet that came out from the football Twitter. Did you get any phone calls today or anything?
I did not get any phone calls, but I'll tell you this. So I've overseen football scheduling for the last 2.5 years at Troy, working hand in hand with Jeremy McClain before, Neil Brown, now Chip Lindsey and myself. We're willing to play anyone, anywhere, anytime. We've played South Carolina, Clemson, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Mississippi State, LSU, obviously, Nebraska. We play Missouri this year. Next year we host NC State, as well as going on the road to Tennessee. Our footprint, mm-hmm. we want to make our games where our fans can travel. We want to be able to play games inside our geographical footprint. So it makes sense to be able to do this. But I'll tell you this. I'm not saying anyone's ducking us. That's not what I'm saying at all, because I don't think that's the case. A lot of these games are scheduled 6 to 8 years out, and it has to match up for what they're looking for and what we're looking for. But I will tell you this. We'll play anybody if it makes sense, okay? And so that's what Troy is. Troy is a blue-collar, you know, outwork you, outgrind you type of football team. You've seen that going back from Chan Gailey, who, oh, by the way, we're going to be hosting on Saturday as part of the 1984 mm-hmm. National Championship team. Chan Gailey's coming back, going to Larry Blakeney, Paul Rhodes, Neil Brown, and now Chip Lindsey. These guys mm-hmm. put in the work, put in the effort. But we're not scared of going on the road and playing some of the P5s. That's where we've made our name. We've beaten Mississippi mm-hmm. State. We've beaten Oklahoma State. We've beaten Missouri, Nebraska. Almost beat national champion Clemson. That I know y'all saw that game there 3 years ago as part of it. So yes, I mean, I think you have to play those games. You have to want to play those games, but it also takes two to tango.
What do you think? I'm going to push you here. What do you think it would take to you know, we saw Southern Miss play Mississippi State this past week. What would it take to see a game like that in Alabama, whether it be Troy? I mean, I know you're above Troy. You can't speak for South and UAB, but what would it take for those three schools to be able to finally get, you know, a matchup with the Auburns and Alabamas of the world?
I think it takes timing, what they're looking at from their schedule, what we're looking at from ours, from a financial standpoint. I'll tell you this, we're playing Ole Miss next in 4 years. Ole Miss mm-hmm. and Southern Miss aren't playing each other, okay? So it's not mm-hmm. just us who aren't playing in-state rivals either, okay? I see a lot of time you see Memphis, you see Tennessee. They don't play anymore. And so it has to make mm-hmm. sense from both aspects of it. But I will tell you this. We're open to playing anybody that would like for us to play that makes sense financially as well as from a geographical standpoint. We'd be definitely open to it.
So let me – you've had to make – I mean, Chip Lindsey, you were a part of that. Scott Cross, you talked, you were a part of that. What about – we haven't gotten into the season yet with Scott Cross, but with Chip so far, what have you seen from Chip? What has really impressed you? Because this is his first head coaching job. So, you know
– it is. In college, it is. He's been a head coach and an AD before in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, he's worked at one of the best high schools in the nation before. He's been a head coach inside the state, outside the state high school. He's been at Troy. He's been at Southern Miss, Arizona State, Auburn two different times. What has mm-hmm. surprised me about Chip is his recruiting. I knew he was a good recruiter. I don't think I realized how great of a recruiter he is. Right now, we can't talk about the Pacific players. But we have 10 verbal commits, and that's what people have seen out online. We have 10 verbal commits. 8 of them are 3 stars. That's outstanding. Mm-hmm. That has never happened before. And so – he's put together a huge, great staff that's huge into recruiting. Chip is one of the best offensive minds out there. We're going to play fast. We're going to play physical. You know, we're going to really bring it there. But Chip is he's an Alabamian. He's from North Al. He's been from the north part of the state, I should say. He's been part of the Troy community before. And just like with me getting this job, this is my dream job. This is Chip's dream job. We knew what we wanted. This wasn't just a job for Chip. This wasn't just a job for me. I've been here for 2.5 years. I knew what it was going to take to be the AD at Troy, and I'm so thankful I had that opportunity. It's a dream job of mine. The same thing with Chip. You know, we want to be part of the expectations. And at Troy University, not just athletics, but at the university, we have high standards. You come across, you look at our facilities, you look at our academics, I mean, we're one of the best universities. We were just ranked 27th mm-hmm. best regional university in the South. That speaks volumes for us. So it's not just athletics. It's all of the university. But getting back to Chip, he's blown me away by his work ethic, by his recruiting, by his way that he's able to connect with people and engage. And I think people are really excited about him.
And, you know, finally, I mean, I don't know if you can as an athletic director, you might be a little biased, but we always ask the people that we bring on. We haven't had any athletic directors yet, but is there, do you have any predictions for this weekend? I mean, do you want to make any predictions?
Here's my prediction, okay? That Jeremy McClain will throw for zero touchdowns and Brent Jones will throw for zero touchdowns, okay? But I'll also tell you that those are my predictions, okay? You have two old baseball players, okay, that are the ADs now. But I'll tell you this, the prediction is this. You're going to see a great game on Saturday at 5 p.m. You're going to see two regional schools, two of the best G5 programs out there, that I think are going to put a great performance on. We're going to have a great crowd. We've sold out the North End Zone tents. We sold out Tailgate Terrace tents. These are the most tents we've had. Ticket sales are going extremely well. We'll have a great student crowd. So my prediction is it's going to be a great football game. And hopefully at the end, the Trojans win.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Brent, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. It's been a wonderful pleasure for us as the Bench Boys. This was a big night for us to be able to get to talk to both of you guys tonight. So we're very, very grateful for you being on the show tonight.
Well, thank you. And I'm probably one of the few that actually has a close personal relationship with every single one of your guests tonight, from Justin McNally. Didn't you have Patrick McGee as well on?
Yes.
So Patrick McGee and I go back almost 6 to 10 years. Jeremy McClain, Justin McNally. Hopefully they all spoke about how great I am. Okay, guys? Thank you so much.
I'm sure they did. Thanks so much. Brent Jones, let me tell you. What Brent told us, we gave him about a 12 to 15 minute play clock. And Brent said, guys, you're going to need a longer time. And then we were like, okay, we can't cut any of this because this is just too good. And wow, what an interview. You could just tell like how excited Brent is. He talked about this being his dream job, and just listen to the way he talks. Like, I mean, that is a guy who just is loving where he's at in his life right now. He's so fired up about everything, just the way he talks. I loved his answers about when we talked about the challenges of getting people into the football games, because you and me both know at Troy, those down years, I mean, the joke around town was, the best place to study for a test was at the second half of a Troy football game.
Absolutely.
Because there was just never anybody. The students always left. And that is totally flipped. And John Hartwell had play in that. Jeremy McClain had a huge play in that. And now Brent's doing the same thing of, and he said it best, of you've got to be creative. You've got to get these people into the door. And he's done exactly that. And that's like one of my favorite things. And you and me have constantly talked about this, about what schools like Troy and Southern Miss have to do to get people into the games, and it's just being creative.
And that's something that Jeremy McClain was talking about that I found really interesting, is just what goes into that process. Because when you go from a state like Alabama to a state like Mississippi that doesn't necessarily pay you mm-hmm. as much as you can, you have to be creative. You're forced to be creative. Mm-hmm. And now Jeremy built up in Mississippi on his on his revenue ability, came to Troy and was the athletic director, and now is going back as the athletic director, has an idea of what to do. I think we're going to see some really good things coming out of Southern Miss in the next couple years just because of what he's been forced to do creatively. I hate to undermine you here, but yeah, we absolutely did cut a little bit of that interview.
A little bit.
Just a little bit, but don't worry. It was that good. Stay tuned. We'll have a full thing. We'll have the full interview from all four of these guys
in a
bonus episode. Stay tuned. We'll announce that later. But for right now, you're right. Things that those two guys did to build up Troy as a program, mm-hmm. and now what Jeremy is working to do to build up Southern Miss as a program, mm-hmm. it's going to be so much fun to watch. And
oh yeah, both.
It's so bizarre because yes, Jeremy went home, but he's also having to start from scratch himself. And so in a way, he gets to do things the way he wants to from day one.
There. Oh yeah, for sure.
He doesn't necessarily have the John Hartwell stuff to build on, mm-hmm. but now he can establish himself as something really great.
Definitely. Well, you know, we asked Brent his predictions, and Brent probably gave us the two best predictions, is that he's going to go 0 for whatever, and
yeah.
you know, and Jeremy's going to do the same thing. But let's get into our predictions with some best bets.
Best bets.
And with best bets, we're going to jump right into game of the week, Southern Miss and Troy. And, man, we got a lot of knowledge this episode.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we've learned so much about each program, and then we got insider knowledge from obviously Mr. McGee and McNelly. We got
absolutely.
A lot of mix on our show tonight,
oh, yeah.
by the way.
It's Irish.
A lot of Irish. Let's get right down to it. Home field, that's what McNelly talked about.
Right.
It's the second home game. Troy's got a bye week. Southern Miss is coming off a Mississippi State game. Do you know who Southern Miss plays next week?
Alabama. Yeah.
This is a gauntlet for them.
Absolutely.
I mean, an absolute gauntlet for Southern Miss. That you got to play an SEC team on the road, mind you. Then you go to Troy on the road, mind you. And then you got to go to Alabama on the road, mind you. Like, just if I was that head coach, I'd be like, we just got to get through this. Like, if we snag a win, that's amazing. But if we can just get through this with being healthy, that's probably the best thing for their season. Just because of how tough of a stretch this is.
And they already lost their number one running back.
So they're already behind the eight ball.
Yep.
So and that is one of the keys, I think, is they do not have a running game. And I know Kevin Perkins is there, Troy guy. There's the player, a former Troy player, let me tell you. And they just don't have the running game there, and they also can't stop the run. From what I saw last week against Mississippi State, I know Mississippi State has a good running back in Kylan Hill, but so does Troy. And we talked about DK Billingsley. I think home field advantage, I think DK Billingsley, I think BJ Smith are too much. I think we see the Troy defense grow up a lot this week because of a bye week. They all talk about how big the bye week was. I think we see a couple interceptions. I think we see somebody in the secondary stand out. It might be a Sunderland. It might be an O'Shea Fletcher.
It might be Nixon.
I'd love to see Melvin Tyus as a senior. Melvin Tyus has played this team before. And that's the other thing that kind of McNelly talked about. Southern Miss is a way different team. They had a running game. They had Ito Smith back when we played them in 2016.
Right.
They don't have that this year. So, and it's in Troy. I'm going to pick Troy. 2.5 is the spread. Troy covers that. I think it's a 10-point ball game, just like McNelly. So I'm going to go Troy and for them to cover.
I already made a prediction in my Trojan Wall article, and I have to agree with Scott Watkins' Trojan Wall article. I'm just keeping planning the Trojan Wall all the way through here. It's a Troy episode. I get to do that. But this is a measuring stick for both games, and I think you stole all my points there. Southern Miss has to find a run game. Troy has to shut down the pass game. This is the first game where we haven't said just stick to what you know. Don't make any mistakes. They're going to have to do that, period. Yes, that's a standard, you know, fundamental thing. But you've also got to factor in the fact that Southern Miss has made some mistakes. You said somebody's going to get – how many interceptions are you going there?
I think we see 2-3 interceptions out of Troy this weekend.
From Troy? Like Troy's taking the
as
ball?
As the defense.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they get 2 or 3 takeaways.
At least one. Yeah. At least one. Because Southern Miss right now in both games – it's 3. Mm-hmm. So even if Troy doesn't get an interception this week, mm-hmm. it's going to be 1-2-3, one for each game.
Yep.
That they're so reliant on the passing game right now, but they can be mm-hmm. because it's that good. Mm-hmm. Jack Abraham is a solid quarterback.
Yeah,
he's going to challenge this secondary, that much I know for certain. Mm-hmm. I almost want to flip the script. The fan vote says Southern Miss 54. And you know what? If the fans say that this week, awesome. Good for them. They might get it. Right now, you said it was a two-point spread or something?
2.5. FPI has it Troy 51-48. Pretty close to our
it's
fan vote.
It's a pick'em.
Yeah, it's just straight up pick'em.
One team is going to have to step up. Mm. I'm going to say Troy, and I'm going to say that Troy has enough weapons. I've already said this. I said this in my Trojan Wall article. Troy has enough weapons to step up. I see them taking a little comfortable lead in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. So you win?
Yeah,
And they cover?
Just like you did.
Yep, perfect. What's our next game?
Our next game, let's go north.
Okay. How north? Because we got some north.
We're going north.
Are we going directional north?
We're going directional north.
Okay, we're going to directional Michigan, aren't we?
No, we're going to southern at Minnesota.
Oh, we're going even north. Well, yeah, I guess. Well, if they're western, whatever. So Georgia, southern, Minnesota? Okay.
Eagles and Gophers.
Gotcha. Well, Minnesota's a Big Ten team.
Yep.
Minnesota's got two wins over a group of five schools, I believe, already. Well, they beat South Dakota State, who's a exceptionally good FCS school this year. I think they're number two or number three in the country. And then they just beat Fresno State 38-35 in overtime.
Fresno State is nothing to whiff at.
No,
Fresno State's one of those Mountain West teams.
Oh, yeah.
If Fresno State had won that, we would be saying nine Power 5 wins from the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm. Well, seven.
Seven. I can't count.
Yeah. I mean, Fresno State's first two games, USC and Minnesota. So they've had a tough schedule. But Minnesota has a guy that a lot of Georgia people will actually know.
PJ Fleck.
No. People from the state of Georgia, because he was recruited. He was recruited by Georgia Southern, of all places. He was going to probably go to Georgia Southern.
Okay.
His name is Rashad Bateman. He is the wide receiver for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. He has 12 receptions for 237 yards already this season and two touchdowns. He is X factor in this game. With what I know, LSU has wide receivers all over the field, but Kendall Vidor, that kid's going to have a handful. Both hands will be full trying to take on Mr. Bateman. Tanner Morgan, very solid player. Minnesota is a ground and pound type of team. Rodney Smith is a very good running back for them. He's going to get probably 20 carries in the game. If Georgia Southern can slow the game down, and if Shywartz plays, because he's still day to day, we're not sure yet, that's going to be the whole game right there. If Shywartz plays, that's the whole game. I mean, we saw how much they struggled last week against Maine. If he doesn't play, and if you combine that with having to take on a wide receiver like Rashad Bateman, there's going to be a lot of points scored on Georgia Southern this weekend. So
let me get this straight. Shywartz was injured against LSU. He's still day-to-day. He did not play against Maine, right?
He did not play against Maine.
Okay. I don't know whether or not he will play against Minnesota.
Yeah, we haven't gotten the day-to-day update on him yet this week.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take him out of the situation
okay.
and look at Georgia Southern as a team without Shywartz.
Okay.
That is a 3-9 team without Shywartz.
Oh, yeah.
That is not a good team without Shywartz.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my take. You ready for this?
Okay.
I'm going to get roasted for this when I'm wrong, but I don't care. I don't know if Georgia Southern is going to make a bowl game this year.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
Shywartz being day-to-day, sure, he'll come back and play. He'll make a difference in this game. But Minnesota is going to win this game, mm-hmm. not because they're Big Ten, not because they necessarily have the weapons, but because the Eagles have somehow regressed. It's not that LSU was that good against them. Because they are, but that defense should have stepped up even without Shywartz. That defense should have stepped up without Shywartz against Maine.
Mm-hmm.
That offense is supposed to run without Shywartz.
I mean, it did. They ran the ball for 395 yards last week, but it never translated into points.
Exactly.
And that's where you need a guy like Shywartz. They only had 16 first downs. They were 3 of 13 on third down. I mean, if they're 3 of 13 on third down, guess what? That's meaning that they're in a lot of third down and long convert in situations.
And if you are a option team, you're not throwing the ball for that.
Mm-mm.
So, Shywartz is an excellent player. He's day to day now. What does that say for the rest of the season? Too many question marks for me. I don't think they necessarily get to a bowl game. I take Minnesota and the points. The fans agree with me, 61%.
Yeah, I know I picked Minnesota. I'm also going to say Minnesota covers.
Same.
15.5 is the point, is the spread.
I don't know if they cover. I don't know if I'm going to say they cover, because if Shywartz gets in the game, then that's going to be a tight ball game.
Okay.
But I'm not going to go deep enough to say they cover, but Minnesota wins this game. All right, let's come back. Let's go directionally.
Directional?
Let's go directional. Oh,
we're going directional Michigan.
Let's go to directional Michigan.
Directional Michigan is always fun.
It is.
This directional Michigan is to the western side of the state, as
yeah.
Western Michigan hosts Georgia State, who might be the surprise team of the year.
Yeah, how did they end up getting 2-0?
Well, they beat Tennessee, and then it wasn't looking very pretty against Furman.
No.
They were only a seven-point favorite in that game, mind you. And at one point, I think they were down 20-3. It was not looking good for Georgia State. I think a lot of fans were a little worried about, oh my Lord, we just beat Tennessee, and now we're about to lose to Furman. They had a great second half against Furman, which was really good. Western Michigan coming in 1-1, destroyed Monmouth.
Well, yeah.
Monmouth. But then they had to go play Michigan State in those ugly green jerseys.
Yeah.
I think the ugliness of the green jerseys actually affected Western Michigan because they lost 51-17 to Michigan State. This one is a tough one for me to pick. FPI has it at 72-27, which is...
In the upset zone.
Right in
that
the upset.
The upset zone.
Right in the smack dab of the upset zone. Spread 8.5. It's bouncing between 8.5 to 10. We're going to stick with -10 on the spread. Western Michigan, they got a decent offense. They don't run the ball. I mean, they average 320 yards to the air, 78 on the ground. So they are a we're going to throw it at you type of team. Georgia State, you look at their stats on their offensive side of the ball, 250 in the air, 208 on the ground. That's you love to see stats like that. But their defense is 311 yards through the air and 150 on the ground.
Mm.
And likewise, Western Michigan, 262, 189 for air and ground. So there's not going to be a lot of defense in this game. The over-under is 69 points. So that means each team around the 30-point mark.
Yeah.
I think they both get over the 30-point mark. I think it's like a 42-35, 42-38 type of game. I think ultimately, you know what? No. This game was a tough game for me. Like, it really was. I'm going to put Dan Ellington on my back, and I'm going to go Georgia State on this one. And with that, I think Georgia State wins this ball game.
Yeah.
So and obviously they're going to cover.
It's in the upset zone.
Dan Ellington is he got a little bit nicked up, but he still threw for like 400 yards.
I like where you're going. I was going to say, you know what? I think that's a very big under. You take the under in that right now. Mm. Like that's I don't like
that. You
think
so?
Yeah, I don't like that. But I do like the fan vote.
They're both giving up 36 and 32 points a game. So that would be right on that. So.
But I like the fan vote.
Okay.
Western Michigan, 71. I'm going to go Western Michigan.
Okay.
But that over or under, I'm circling that. I have an iffy feeling about that. I think it's going to be under. So
okay.
Let's go back home to Mobile.
Okay.
Memphis and South Alabama for the Big Cat rematch.
It's going to be a tough week for South.
Yeah,
You wish maybe year three Cephas Johnson would have been able to play them. I know he's a junior now, but year three of really in this Kenny Edenfield system, he's still at year two. They're still getting a lot of kinks out. They looked really good against Jackson State. I don't think Jackson State's mascot ran onto the field last week.
No, it didn't.
So that was good.
He was contained.
He was contained. They ran for what 392 yards of rushing. I'm pretty sure. I mean, they broke
Trey Minter
had a hell of a game.
He just wiped the floor with them.
But they're also playing really inferior talent. I mean, Jackson State is not a good team. I actually watched them play the week before against I think it was FAMU maybe.
I think it was FAMU. Yeah,
one of the teams.
Anyway.
And this Memphis team is just so – they have so much firepower. Brady White is 40 of 52 on the season. They played two games, and he's 40 of 52 for 509 yards.
Wow.
I mean
– that's amazing.
That's incredible. They've got wide receivers all over the place. They score a ton of points. Their defense is nasty up front. I mean, nasty up front. I watched the Ole Miss game, and they threw around Ole Miss. And that was first game of the year. I know Ole Miss is on probation, all that stuff. But when you go and you – I mean, they played them at Memphis. When you go and you throw around an SEC school like what they did, they held Ole Miss to, I think, 10 points the entire game. There's a reason why, and it's because they got a nasty D line. And I'm gonna challenge. Like, I think the biggest challenge in this game is the D lines between each school, D line, O line, and we're really gonna see if South's D line can really hold up. And Memphis is kind of another game, just like our game of the week, where you play a team like Memphis, they're gonna prepare you for your conference slate.
Absolutely,
they're the same type of team, and we're gonna really see where South really stacks up against the rest, I think the rest of the Sun Belt, because Memphis is that type of a team.
Memphis is one of the better ACC teams, AAC teams, American teams. They're not UCF. They're not, well, they're better than Houston this year. But I agree with you. I like the trenches, looking at the trenches. The O-line has been South Alabama's flaw for the longest time. They were pretty good against Nebraska. But their downfall was the offensive line giving up a sack that led to a fumble to a touchdown.
And they had 14 points, 21 points off of turnovers and special teams.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So South is a little mistake prone right now, and that offensive line has got to step up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. That is all going to have to add up, and when it, if it does add up, that's going to be them staying in this ball game like they did against Nebraska.
Well, they did stay in the ball game last year. I mean, they scored 35 points on them last year. The problem is they gave up 52. And I know they had Daryl Henderson on their team last year, but yeah, they lose him, but they got everybody else back pretty much other than Tony Pollard. But and that's the scary thing about Memphis, I think, is they just they still have so much firepower. And South, I just don't think they're going to match up well. Spread is 19. FBI 89-10 Memphis.
Fan vote is 59 Memphis. I think we're just going to have to go across the board and go Memphis.
Yeah, I'm going to go Memphis. I
That's pretty much the end of it right there. That you it doesn't look good for South.
Yeah, I think Memphis wins, but South covers. I'm going to give them that. 19 okay. points is a lot. I think South keeps it in within 21 points for sure.
We were talking about Southern Miss and Troy being different teams than they were the last time they met. This is a better South Alabama team than Memphis met last year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is probably the same Memphis team that South Alabama met last year, but this is a better Memphis, better South Alabama team than Memphis met last year.
Yep.
All right, let's head out west to Texas, Texas State at SMU. We have the Bobcats and the Mustangs. Fan vote right now, pretty dead even. SMU's 51%.
Yeah, Texas State looked, I mean, I think they scored in their opening drive last week, which everybody was like, what? I mean, that doesn't happen a lot for Texas State. We talked about your boy for Ben on Sports.
Gress Jensen, yeah.
Gress Jensen, great showing last week, 390 yards or something like that. But the problem is this is a really good Sonny Dykes coached SMU team, and they have Shane Buechele still on their team. And Shane Buechele is just having a, I mean, he's having a field day. 652 yards, 51 of 83 touchdowns. They got a Xavier, I think his name is Xavier Jones, as a running back. He's got 190-something yards rushing. And then they got a really big wide receiver, 17 receptions, 274 yards for Mr. I think it's Reggie Robertson. Yeah, Reggie Robertson, Jr. So it's too much firepower on Southern Miss. I know Texas State has a good defense, but SMU, 17.5-point favorite. They're averaging 500 yards, but SMU gives up a lot of yards. But the problem is Texas State's offense is still just not good. They're just not there. And so I'm going to say SMU, and I think SMU covers. I don't think this one is close. 17.5, I think SMU covers and wins.
All right, I'm going to do it. Ready?
Go for it.
SMU was very nearly beaten by Arkansas State, a team with the firepower, probably the best firepower in the Sun Belt. They were caught off a little off guard. If they had had their coach, Blake Anderson, I really think that Arkansas State would have done a lot better. Nothing against him. We've talked about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit too. But the point is, to me, Texas State's going to be a little bit more well-rounded. I think they found confidence, and they found a starter at quarterback that they can rally around. And Gretz Jensen, one of the reasons I picked him as my honor hustle award of the week, he's thrown for more yards in one game than any other Sun Belt player has. And that is the key. That is what kept Arkansas State in the game against SMU. It was a shootout. And if Texas State can do that again this week, I have them winning. I have them winning outright. That means they cover. That means they win. I'm going to go with Texas State this week.
You think they cover?
Well, if they win, they cover.
Oh, they win. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
It's cool. Let's head out to the MAC for our first,
Maxson.
Our only non-Sunbelt game of the week. Battle of the Big Green Meanies, Ohio Bobcats and Marshall Thundering Herd.
A lot of green in this
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely.
The Thundering Herd in Ohio. Ohio coming off of a close loss to Pittsburgh, 20-10. They beat Rhode Island 41-40 in the first week. And then Marshall took on Boise State last week. Marshall, I think, had like four turnovers in the game. Marshall should have won this game, but they just couldn't stop making turnovers. They only lose that game 14-7, which
yeah.
If you go to Boise and you only lose by a touchdown, that's a solid team.
And Troy knows all about that.
We know a lot about that. Marshall took on BMI first week and destroyed BMI. I think the more significant game is how close they played Boise State. I think Boise State's a really good team. They have a young quarterback, but what they did to keep up. They just shot themselves in the foot a lot. Ohio, on the other hand, we're pretty familiar with Ohio. We played Ohio, 3 years ago in the Dollar General Bowl.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, I like Ohio. I think they still have – I think his name's Frank Solich. Really old coach. Used to be at
I think he stepped down.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think he's there anymore.
Don't quote me on that then. But either way, they still have, and I'm going to quote if McNelly's listening to this, a WSFA legend in Jeff Shear calls their quarterback. His name is Nathan Rourke, and he actually played, this is a little stat right here, played for Edgewood Academy in down here in Prattville, Alabama, for Bobby Carr. They had an 82-game winning streak while he was there. They didn't lose games. His nickname, the Canadian Cannon, because he's from Canada. Nathan Rourke, I think, is the difference in this game. Also, FBI, 73-26. That is right in the upset zone. I just like Ohio. I know Marshall has a pretty solid defense, but I'm going to pick Ohio to win. And obviously, they do cover. The spread is 5.5. So I'm going to go Ohio straight up.
Fan votes, Marshall 56. And I'm like you. I think that Boise game against Marshall is the big one. I didn't even know that they committed 4 turnovers in that game, and they only won by 1 touchdown. Mm-hmm. Marshall almost beat Boise State. That's the takeaway there. I think Marshall's a team to watch out of the MAC. I think they're this year's Buffalo. They're this year's Utah State. Circle them. Keep an eye on them. I got them winning this one. I got them covering by a lot.
Okay.
There it is. Best bets.
Best bets.
Final word.
Those were our best bets. Last week, I went 5-1. What'd you go? 3-2 or something?
4-2.
4-2.
Real quick update in the break there. We looked it up. It was 4 turnovers total, 2 on each side. Yes. Still going to stick with my Marshall win because you don't go into the Smurf turf and almost win and not be good.
Yeah, so. I mean, you got to play good. So, final word, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's some good news.
Absolutely. Some
good news stories are good stories. First of all, one that kind of captured, I think, the entire country was this boy that was getting bullied in school because he kind of wore a shirt that had his own depiction of University of Tennessee on it.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool design, and Tennessee got wind of it, and Tennessee has now they've basically put that same thing on an actual shirt.
And they're selling it.
And they're selling it, and it just, there's been hundreds of thousands of people that have, come for the story and have probably purchased the shirt. To be honest with you, I kind of want to purchase the shirt. I think it's a really cool thing. I kind of wish, the kid probably would have made some money off of it. Not directly, but put it in an escrow account for college tuition later on in life or something like that. But that was a cool story. Also, we didn't have them in our pick'ems this week, but Arkansas State, probably the biggest game other than our game of the week with 2 group of 5 teams, but they're playing number 3 team, Georgia.
Yeah.
And that's a huge game.
Absolutely.
Second week with Blake Anderson back. We talked about Blake Anderson early in the show, but Georgia doing something really cool as well for Arkansas State. It's been going around their social media and around a lot of their fans, and it's a hashtag wear pink for Windy. And I mean, just to see another school that, I mean, they don't, you could probably ask 90% of the Georgia fans, they probably couldn't tell you where Arkansas State was.
No.
And so for them to go out and say, hey, there's a lot more important things than football in life. And when they've seen what happened to Miss Windy Anderson, and the battle that Blake Anderson's going through, and to say, hey, there's gonna be a large. I really hope to see it. I can't wait to kind of watch that game. I'm gonna try to have it on my phone because I'm gonna be down in Troy. I hope I see a lot of pink in Athens between the hedges this Saturday. I think that's a respect move right there.
Very classy.
I mean, just classy move. And just the fact that They're thinking, like I just said, there's just things that are more important than football. And for them to put football aside and to support a coach like Blake Anderson, that's awesome. Hopefully, Blake Anderson has some celebration to do
after the game.
That
course.
Might be the upset of the year if it happens.
I don't see it. We're not.
It's gonna be a tough game.
We're not gonna talk about it. We're not gonna analyze it.
Yep.
We're done with all that. But I agree with you. It's a very, very classy move. I love when teams do stuff like this. Mm-hmm. I know that when Troy went into Georgia and absolutely got slaughtered 66-0, I heard nothing but good things coming out of that. Even though it was a 66-0 blowout, they were still respectful. They were still kind, and it was still a fun time. I think that just about does it for this episode.
Yeah. Great episode.
Absolutely. I'm so excited.
This was a big week for us.
I'm so glad y'all stuck around the whole way through the end of this.
Thank you again for sticking around. If you want to stick around even more,
you can follow us on Twitter. We're at the OG Bench Boys. He's at Colin Cahill 13. I'm at Thomas Gleaton. You can follow us and listen. Hit that subscribe button. Seriously, anytime you want to get updates, subscribe to us on iTunes, on Google Play, on Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Luminary, Stitcher. We're not on Podbean. I don't know about that yet, but we're on a bunch of different platforms. Go listen to us. Go check us out. If you're already listening to us, what am I saying? Check us out some more. Go listen to other episodes to get caught up this season.
Fill out your pick'em sheets. We got a lot of participation this week. Incredible amount of participation.
We didn't even pitch that. Just go do it. It takes 2 seconds.
It's 6 games every week. You get a chance.
Name, email, 6 win, 6 picks.
Yeah. You get a chance to win a shirt probably, or there might be something better this year. We had a shirt last year. Who knows what we're going to do, but go fill out those sheets. Again, follow us. You know, if you're going to be, our game of the week is Southern Miss and Troy. Both you and me are going to be there. We might do some Facebook Lives depending on what we can do. We might have some fun with it, interview some Southern Miss fans. We're going to have some fun this weekend. We're going to be in Troy, Alabama. So if you see us out there, give us a what's up, because, you know, you listen to the Bench Boys. So with that being said...
Wait, hang on. We got that interview thing. We're going to have all 4 interviews from this episode. We were cut down for time because we didn't want to overwhelm you with a huge episode. It was a lot, but there's so much good stuff in each of those interviews. We want you to be able to have it. That will be up soon. Stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter. You'll find out when it comes down. I think that just about wraps it up. I don't have anything more.
All you got to do is just come on back.